Dr. Housingbubble, welcome to On the Edge.
Thanks, Mac. I appreciate it.
Okay. The only thing we know about you is that you're out there in California. And actually, I'm quite curious. Why the anonymity?
Well, for the housing blog that I did, it actually started out as a part-time gig. It was actually kind of a refuge from the housing mania that was going on in the state at the time. Now, you know, it was kind of a collective herd mentality that you were seeing here. A lot of people were thinking that housing prices were justified. You were seeing, you know, 500-square-foot shacks going for $500,000. So in terms of starting the blog, I wanted to have an outlet for people to kind of just get information and kind of come to a different conclusion that realtors and banks were kind of arriving in.
Okay, so it's important for people to understand that before this housing bubble crashed, you were explaining to people exactly what was coming and that a crash was inevitable. And to get the truth out, you had to really do it anonymously because the cult of housing ownership was so strong that you would have been seen as a heretic and burned at a palm tree or something.
And that's kind of how it was. I think anyone that questioned the value of a person's housing, or if anyone even questioned the banks and the state, you were kind of seen as an outsider. You were kind of seen as kind of out of your mind. But even now, as we're looking at kind of the housing prices crashing, you know, everyone kind of seems to gain their conscience one by one. But it was really just pure insanity. You had to live in the state to actually understand how incredible the housing bubble got.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the mania that preceded the bubble.
You know, I think it all started, I would probably say, in 2000 or so. And, of course, the foundation of this was laid probably in the 1990s, 1980s, with adjustable-rate mortgages, easy financing, deregulating the entire Wall Street like mortgage-backed securities industry. And you saw people just starting to use their house as this ATM. And once people started getting this mentality of flipping their homes, a home suddenly didn't become a place to live, but it became a commodity to trip and, you know, to flip it, to trade it. And, you know, the housing sales that happened in the state were happening so quickly, and equity and appreciation was going so fast. You were seeing a house that sold for maybe $200,000, sell for $300,000 the next year, sell for $400,000 the next year, sell for $500,000 the next year. And no one really paused to think about, was this really a bubble? And incomes never justify that. That's the thing, that incomes never kept pace with the actual housing prices.
Okay, we've got a chart to show this that you have on your website, drhousingbubble.com. We're going to get to that right in a second here. But just
sure.
To reiterate, the bubble mentality in California that, and around the country that you were observing, you know, a lot of people tie that to the dot-com bubble, that instead of allowing that to collapse, the Federal Reserve Bank came in, lowered interest rates to an artificially low level, and just moved that huge bubble from NASDAQ and the over-the-counter market and the NASDAQ market over to this housing bubble.
You know, and that's, I think, why if people really want to have a sense of why California is having such a difficult time with their budget, it's a, you know, it's a tale of two bubbles, right? I mean, in the 1990s, we were the hub for the technology bubble. You know, a lot of good things did come from technology, obviously, but a lot of it was bubble. You know, I mean, you were looking at pets.com and stocks like that just going off the charts. That bubble imploded. But right on the tail of that, like you were saying, the Federal Reserve cut rates to, you know, 1% with Alan Greenspan, and that fed the fuel of the housing bubble, which started about in 2000. So we went from one bubble to another one, and the state's reliance on personal income tax and sales tax is about 83%. So you have these really volatile sources. So the state, in terms of technology companies doing really well, housing companies doing really well, I mean, anything connected to the real estate industry, you know, the state was happy too. You know, they were collecting money from banks, from realtors, from brokers, from anything connected to the real estate industry. So they were flush with revenues. But right now you're seeing kind of the two bubbles imploding after 20 years or so, and the state's trying to find an equilibrium because that money's really not coming back, unfortunately.
Okay, now your charts show that house prices are still overvalued in San Francisco. We've got that chart. Also, we've got a chart. The median house prices are still many times median income. Describe what we're seeing in these charts.
In these charts, what you're seeing, and you're actually seeing kind of a differing trend right there, where the lower end of housing prices right now in California, they are selling at a brisker pace. So when you're seeing homes pick up, you're seeing the lower end of the market having a lot more sales. And that's the first kind of market that has seen really intense pricing correction on the downside. Now, if you're looking at the mid-tier to the upper tier, looking at your San Franciscos, your L.A. counties, your Orange counties, median household income in those areas still is pretty high in relation to the actual home price, even as of now. And home prices have corrected anywhere from 50% to 40%. But in some areas, the thing is, like, you know, there's still this mentality that prices are not going to go down. And a lot of these areas are the ones that have those adjustable rate mortgages, the option ARMs, the Alt-A mortgages. And that bubble is probably going to implode a little more later on this year and into 2010.
Now, San Francisco is still at 10 times income?
It is. Yeah, absolutely. And I know that still seems like it's insane at this point, right? I mean, you look at that chart and you're thinking, well, haven't we had a housing correction? You know, California is just such a big state, and it's not really homogenous in the sense of the counties. Some counties are really, really getting back to more equilibrium points where, you know, maybe a four times household income might be justified in some areas like San Francisco. It's never been that low either, but at the same time, 10 is still really, really high, and you're seeing prices starting to go down in those areas.
Okay, well, we're talking about a multiple to mean income. Let's talk about the income for a second and the fact that unemployment in California, here's a chart that doesn't look very good, the unemployment picture.
You know, right now the unemployment rate for the state is 11.6%. It's the highest in terms of record-keeping history for the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. And, you know, the real probably unemployment and underemployment rate is about, I would say it's probably about 20% for the state if we use kind of nationwide statistics on that.
You're talking about the U6 number, which is more inclusive. For example, people have stopped looking for work, right?
Exactly. Or take, for example, the 200,000 state employees that have been furloughed for 3 days out of the month.
Right.
You know, that's a 14% income cut right there.
But they don't include those in some of the official statistics coming out of the government. They don't include the furlough numbers.
Exactly. You know, so the furlough numbers or even people that are working two part-time jobs, you know, that number is not reflected. You know, so these people are considered full-time workers in terms of the government statistics. And, you know, these are people that are your prospective buyers of homes, your prospective buyers of cars, your prospective buyers of anything in commerce. So when you hear people saying that it's bottoming out, you know, it's kind of hard. I mean, the statistics really don't reflect that. The unemployment rate is still ticking upwards.
All right, we've got about 2 minutes left in the show. Let's touch on a couple of points. The California economy, they've introduced IOUs to replace that other worthless fiat currency, the U.S. dollar. How are they faring out there in the marketplace?
There's a tentative budget deal that was just reached yesterday. It includes a lot of intense cuts. It's also including more gimmicks like borrowing money, taking money from local cities and counties. So, you know, the IOUs, essentially the state has run out of money.
Yeah, how big is the debt in California now? Do you have those numbers?
The actual deficit was $26 billion, and that's the revenue gap from the expectations that the state had had. You know, they were aiming at $115, $120 billion in terms of revenue, and it's coming in more about $89, $90 billion. And that's where that huge gap happened. And, of course, you know, these fiscal projections are about a year out, so they completely missed the ball on that, unfortunately. And that's where these IOUs are coming. The state actually ran out of money.
Right. Are you saying Asian investors coming in and snapping up some of these properties?
I'm not seeing that. You know, I know in the early 90s that actually occurred quite a bit. You know, this is a global recession, so money is getting tight all around the world.
Right. But in Asia they have a lot of excess reserves, and I think maybe they're just waiting for some signal that prices might bottom, but instead of the U.S. benefiting from that upturn, you're going to find that the U.S. has done deals with their largest creditors, which in this case include China, and you may find that the infrastructure in California, the roads, tunnels, bridges, owned by overseas owners, which would add further pain to the misery going forward, because if you do get a job and you do have an income, your taxes are going to go off to Chinese investors.
And you're seeing that. I mean, even local municipalities are actually raising their taxes. And the state is actually starting to take out withholdings a little bit earlier in terms of collecting for personal income tax. You know, so in terms of the benefit here, I think people are just frustrated, and rightfully so. They're hearing all about these bailouts and all this money just being flowing into Wall Street. And they're just not seeing that on the main street of USA here. And that's kind of, I think, the big frustration about all this. All this money, all these trillions of dollars going to Wall Street. And there's really no kind of real-world translation to showing any benefit. And people are thinking, why did we send all this money there if we're not seeing any true benefit for us?
Thanks so much, Dr. Housing Bubble. That's all the time we have for today. And that's it for On the Edge. I want to thank my guests, Dmitry Orlov and, of course, Dr. Housing Bubble. We'll be back on the last week of August because I'm going to take a little bit of a summer break. Bye, y'all.